is a former judge, but his heart has really been turned to revival. He gets it. He just gets it. There's a lot of problems in our nation, as we know, a lot of problems in our community, and we run around and we try to stamp out fires everywhere. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but the real key is people got to come to Christ. Because when people come to Christ, these little fires will put themselves out. People will put them out. We'll no longer be fighting them. They'll be on our team. And so Randy understands that. And there's been some great moves of God in our country over the last 200 years that have shaped who we are today. We would not be this nation without the great awakenings that have already happened, plus some other moves of God. And he is praying and he is leading a movement for more of that. So he's a guy who just like I said, really gets it. And we're really blessed that he gave up a very lucrative career, very prestigious. And he said, you know what, our nation needs God and needs Christ. And so he has committed his life to that. So he is worthy of our, I don't want to say worthy of our praise. That just sounds a little too high. But and he will not take any credit, but he is worthy of our thanks for sure. So would you please welcome Mr. Randy Heckman.
I think I have the mic. I hope it works. Yeah, you can hear me. I can hear me. That's good. Well, it's so good to be back. The enemy does not want us to say much here this morning, obviously, but it is Mother's Day, right? Is that true? How many mothers do we have here today? Come on. Don't be bashful. Congratulations to mothers. This is awesome. You know, the temptation for a speaker like me, I mean, I like people to like me and like to have a good time and so on, and is on a Mother's Day, just make everything all light and fluffy and, you know, everything's great here and we're going to have fun and thank you and let's go eat, you know, sort of attitude. But Todd alluded, you know, I just can't do it. I mean, I do thank you mothers, the work you do. And we'll talk more about that in a few minutes in kind of an indirect way. But I can't just be okay about just being a nice American Christian guy and everything's fine here and let's just party and have a good old time. I've had what some have referred to as my Nehemiah moment. You say, what is that exactly? Remember Nehemiah? What happened to him? Remember how he was doing a great job? He had his cushy job there in the capital. Again, he was taken captive to Babylon, but he had this cushy job for the king, and he was kind of the wine dude or whatever. And he I'm sure he had a great house and if you know good chariot or whatever he got around in, and everything was cool. He had good food and everything's fine here, and. Some people came from Jerusalem, and they said to Nehemiah, Nehemiah, do you know what's going on? He said, what's going on back in Jerusalem? He said, well, as you know, because this is actually not new news, this is over 100 years old news. Really, Nehemiah knew it in his head, but all of a sudden it went from his head to his heart when he heard it again. He said, you know what? The walls are down. The gates are burned. The people in Jerusalem are in trouble. And Nehemiah had his Nehemiah moment. He said, it's not okay with me. I can't just go about my job anymore. I can't just have this cushy job, live in this great place, and well, I know what's going on. I can't do it. And he fasted and he prayed for 30 days, and he just couldn't. He couldn't get out of them. He said, I got to do something about it. I got to do something about it. Well, I've had my Nehemiah moment. I'm not okay with our nation being the way it is. And you can't see the news and you can't feel what you feel in this country without just saying, oh, it's a mess. I can't even watch the news. It's like sixth graders calling each other names, you know, on the playground. And it's just, you know, if it's true what Jesus said, that a house divided against itself cannot stand, our nation's in trouble today. And I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with people even in this neighborhood dying and going to hell forever. I'm not okay with that. When I have the answer, and you have the answer, and we just, everything's fine, I'm an American Christian, and I deserve hell along with everybody else because of him, because of what he did. I get to go to heaven. I get to be a child of God. I didn't deserve that. And I'm the only answer to the problems of people in our country, the only answer. And you have that answer. And I hope that you're not okay with just life as usual. It's all about me and my comfort and so on. So as much as I would love to just make it a light little talk here this morning, as I prayed about this a week ago and began to put things together, God's going to lead me down this road, and we're going to go together. It's going to get better, but we're going to start really with one of the hardest things Jesus had to say. Turn to Luke 14, if you would. To me, it's one of the hardest sermons he gave, hardest passages. I mean, I could have turned to any number of things, but in my little ESV Bible, it's the title of this paragraph is The Cost of Discipleship. Luke 14, starting with verse 25. It's a tough passage in a sense. You know, I'm making things even worse here than better. But it's okay. God wants us to hear these words, wants us to take them to heart. We don't have to, but I think he wants us to. Now the great crowds, starting with verse 25 in Luke 14. Now the great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "But anyone who comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Hate? And what the Greek is relative to his love for me, his devotion to me. In other words, you got to be sold out. "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he is enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid the foundation and he's not able to finish it, all will see it, will begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with his 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Well, that's a passage, frankly, I don't like to read. Because I look at that, I say, is that me? Have I renounced all that I have? Most of the time, no. Truthfully? I mean, I go after my own stuff and my comfort and my security and my safety. I've got Jesus too. And I want to think, I'm sold out to him. I've certainly given him my life and I'm pursuing him. But what a standard. Jesus draws that line in the sand and says, there it is. Boys and girls, what are you going to do with that? Well, and I think, generally, I was talking to one of the brothers beforehand about what's going on in Pakistan, and we can think about what's going on in China and other parts of the world where followers of Christ, according to Voice of the Martyrs, there's 200 million followers of Christ in the world today that are being persecuted today for their faith in Christ. Today, persecuted. And we're just, everything's fine. I'm an American Christian. I deserve this, whatever. It's been relatively easy to be a Christian compared to many others, both in the world today, but also in history, as we well know. But it feels like we've kind of lowered the bar of what expectation is. And so I read this and I say, wow, really, Lord? Really? But I would suggest to you our nation is hurting because how many millions of Christians we have in this country have just not been salty. The light's been dimmed and the darkness is growing. And so we have judgment of God in our country. How can God not judge a country that legally kills its unborn, little boys and girls? Million a year, plus. Throw them away. We protect trees. There's a guy in North Carolina recently that was arrested and charged with animal cruelty. You know what he did? He didn't feed his goldfish.
What?
Yes. Now, fortunately, the court said, well, you got to be an animal to commit animal cruelty, and a fish is not quite an animal, so threw the case out. But the fact that he was charged, we have people charged by tearing down trees, and yet we kill unborn babies. Same-sex marriage legalized. God, do you think God just said, well, you're American, you get a pass because you're America? Are you kidding me? Pornography. We produce more pornography than anywhere else in the world. We consume it, and we send it to the other parts of the world. Addictions. The division that we have. Political. Right versus left and all the other things. Just the yelling at each other. The threat of war that is growing at least a little bit. You talk about, you know, Korea, China. There's, you know, there's things are going on that are unstable. You say, well, yeah, it's all those non-Christians' fault for crying out loud. They just would shape up. They could come to our church. They could come our way. Sorry. You can't blame non-Christians for behaving like non-Christians. But when we, followers of Jesus, adopt the attitudes and the attitudes and the actions of the world around us, and we compromise what Jesus is asking us to do, we got to look in the mirror. We have to own the lostness of our world, people. Can you imagine the 120 people in an upper room? Totally sold out, full of boldness, willing to die. They changed their world. How many Christians do we have in West Michigan? If you consider West Michigan about 1 million, we got at least 120,000 claim to be followers of Christ in West Michigan, and yet we just keep floating instead of changing our culture. You know, what does it mean to be a Christian? You know? Go to church and be nice. It's how it's easy to just kind of lower the standard. That's what it means to be a Christian. Just be nice. Be nice. And go to church. And judge our neighbors that don't go. And that's our kind of, but yet the millennial attitude is, look, I don't judge you for your beliefs. You don't judge me for my beliefs. Everyone's nice, nice, nice. And the reality is, I just wrote it down here, nice people without Jesus burn in hell for eternity. And what is God's heart, people? What's God's heart? Second Peter, he says he's not willing for any to perish. That's his heart. 1 Timothy 2, he says we need to pray for those in authority and so on. Because it goes on to say, for God desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's his heart. Do you think he's happy when people go to hell? When he died for them? What about our heart? Do we hurt when people don't know him and just turn their back on him, especially if they've never heard the gospel? And it's so tempting to play defense, you know, and just huddle up here and pray for the second. I hope Jesus comes now. I mean, I'd love it. I want to go to heaven. That'd be great. But he wants more to come in before he puts an end to history. And what did he tell his disciples in Matthew 28, the 11? He said, all, not some, not most, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, what? Stay. No. Go, right? Don't play defense. It's time to go. And make disciples, teaching them to observe all things I have, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. For lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. Go, guys, come on. And what happened to those 11? Not so pretty, right? They most of them died pretty ugly deaths. Even Peter, crucified upside down. He refused to be crucified regularly. He says, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. They crucified him upside down. Whew. So, what do we got to do? It seems to me that what would help us to get some biblical examples to get rid of our caution and our self-preservation and our fear. We should have no fear. Perfect love casts out fear, and we should go. Again, we're not to blast people, but to speak the truth in love, but have a boldness about us that we're lacking it in our church today. So I'm going to give some biblical examples to inspire us. And, of course, I could, you know, find some men. You know, we think of David, King David, and Daniel in the Bible, and Paul, one of my heroes, and most of all, of course, Jesus. But being Mother's Day and so on, but in many ways, I am in some ways even more inspired by some women in the Bible. And I want to touch on a couple of women. I just love these examples. They are so good. And then I got a third, and she doesn't know what I'm going to say, but it's going to be good. All right. Turn to Mark 12. I love this gal. We don't know much about her. We don't know her name. And we don't know really what happened as a result. But Mark 12, verse 41. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money in the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And here she comes. And a poor widow came in, put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had to live, she had, all she had to live on." I don't know what compelled this gal. It was a stupid thing what she did, humanly speaking. She got two copper coins, one penny is worth. And she said, "I'm giving it all. I'm giving." She doesn't have a husband to support her. She's a widow. I'm just so impressed with this. I cannot wait to see her in heaven. I want to see what happened as a result of what she did. You know that God blessed her. You know God met her needs. Did some rich fat cat come along and marry her? You know, I don't know. But something happened. It doesn't say Jesus went over there and gave her all he had. He just watched her and made the comment. Amazing. I'm so glad that's in the Bible. Compare her with the rich young ruler. Jesus said, "Sell it all. Give it to the poor. Come follow me. You have treasure in heaven." He went away sad. Why? Because he had great wealth. This lady, I bet she went away happy. She had nothing. But she did what she sensed she should do. Folks, are we willing to give everything? "Well, but I need..." Are we going to trust God? Are we going to trust God if he prompts us to go to India, Pakistan, China, next door, and say something that might make a person feel a little uncomfortable? Are we willing? We got to figure that out. Another lady I want to profile. Again, we don't know these ladies' names. Turn to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, 21 to 28. I love this lady too. Some call her the Syrophoenician woman, Canaanite woman. She's a Gentile, not even a Jew. Matthew 15, starting with verse 21. "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.'" You'd think, you know, the Son of God, I mean, come on. He'd say, "Oh, sure, here you go, lady." He wanted to make an example for you and me from this woman's life. And he knew what was in her. She had faith in her. She would not give up. So the Son of God, the loving, all-loving Son of God, he didn't even answer her. He just ignores her. She could have said, "You Jew jerk," spit, and run away. What does she do? "Have mercy on me." But he did not answer a word. And his disciples came, begged him, saying, "Send her away." She wouldn't quit crying. "Well, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Send her away. She's crying after us." He answered, I mean, talk about prejudice. I mean, this just, our modern mind just gets blown away by this. The Son of God, the loving Son of God, the way he treats this lady, it's incredible. Come on. Look at it. "I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I was only sent to the Jews. He's playing a game with this girl. He's pushing her. God ever do that with you? God ever not answer your prayer right away? Did you say, "Okay, God, I thought you were loving. I'm going away. I'm not going to trust you anymore." She didn't. He's pushing her. And he knew this would be in the Bible for us today. She came and knelt before him. She's not going to quit. She said, "Lord, help me." And he could have said, okay, you've done enough now. I'll answer your prayer. Look what he says. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. That's what they called Gentiles in those days. Dogs. Gentile dog. Can you believe this? This is what Jesus did. Why? Because he really wants to just show us in our prayer life not to give up. I used to be, I'm a Calvinist. I'll plead guilty to that, okay? Raised Christian Reformed, like many of you probably. And I'd pray one time about something. God wouldn't do it. Okay, I get it. Yeah, it's fine. You're smart. I'm not so smart. Cool. I'm fine. I don't trust him a bit. I didn't trust his heart. My friends, when you're praying for something, if it's consistent with the Word of God, you don't pray for, send me $1 million. Lord, I need $1 million just because I want it. No. Consistent with the Word of God, it gives glory. The answering it gives glory to God. And the Holy Spirit's prompting you to pray that. Don't quit praying. We don't have time to look at Luke 11, Luke 18. They will tell you the same thing of what I'm saying right here. But this is an example. She said, Lord, help me. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it through. She said, yes, Lord, I'll be a dog. You call me a dog, I'll just be a dog. But even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the mess. I'll be a dog. But I'm not going to quit asking because you have the power to do it and you are loving. And I'm going to trust you no matter how many times you stiff arm me. And Jesus answered, oh woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. I can't wait to see this woman in heaven. I'm going to say thank you for giving me an example that I need in my life not to quit praying. We're praying for one. We have 12 children. You all know that, right? Michelle, Renee, Alicia, Mary, David, Susie, John, Scott, Lori, Daniel, Angela, and Nathan. Okay, I said it there. So we pray for them. All right. The fifth born we've been praying for. And humanly speaking, great shape, but needs to come back to the Lord 100%. And we are not going to quit praying for him. Not going to quit praying for him. Why? It's consistent with the Bible. Yes, he's not one for any perish. Two, it gives incredible glory to God for him to come back to Jesus. Three, the Holy Spirit's prompting us to do this in our heart. And so we're not going to quit. He's going to come back. Maybe this year, maybe 10 years from now. But he's coming back. And for which we are grateful. So you got something like that you're praying for? Be like this woman. Don't give up. We could think of other people. We could think of Ruth. We could think of who married a geezer, Boaz. We have reason to believe he was an old dude. Never married. Probably not real good looking. His mom was Rahab, the harlot. Look at their genealogy and so on. And she knew that their firstborn would not even belong to her, technically. Would belong to the dead husband. Mary, the one who anointed Jesus before he went to the cross. She, expensive perfume. You were so stupid. She just did. She did everything. That's what we need to be. We need to be all in. So we can think of those folks. But you know what? I got one more example. And she doesn't know I'm going to say this. But I'm looking at her right here. My wife, Marcia. I think you'll pardon me on Mother's Day to at least talk a little about her, right? She is one wholehearted woman. She doesn't know how to lie. I wish she did at times. when I was running for U.S. Senate, we'd go up to a place like Alpena to give a talk, right? And when you're running for a state office, you might want to do it, but I'm just saying it's got this moment. But they give you like 5 minutes. Okay, you drive for 3 hours, and you got 5 minutes to say everything you need to say. Then you got to drive back 3 hours. So it's usually, 9:30, 11, 10, 11 at night, and you're driving back, and you had your 5 minutes, and you really want your precious best friend who's sitting next to you to, if they can't say something nice, just lie, would you please? She was so, there are times where she would be the one giving the standing O, but there are other times where I didn't hit it out of the park, and I love her. And that's, I'm so glad she's real, because I do love people to speak the truth to me most of the time. But another neat thing about this girl, we had, by the way, Ryan, and we had four daughters in a row, okay? We figured that way, I don't know how that worked, but it's smart to start with girls, just saying, because they make good babysitters, But so we had four daughters, and that was it, because Randy wanted an airplane, right? I like flying airplanes for fun. Haven't done it in a few years now, but I want to get back to it, Lord willing, one of these days, if he wants it to. But so I was done, and our house couldn't fit anymore, our car couldn't fit anymore, my budget couldn't fit anymore, and Marcia, who has only two sisters, no brothers, I have three sisters, no brothers, so we have no experience along these lines, okay? She prays this dangerous prayer. God, that's enough kids, right? But if you want us to have another one, change Randy. And there I am, having my quiet times. And God began messing with me, folks. Psalm 127, still in the Bible. Children, blessing, and blessed is he whose quiver is full, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't say his car is full, whatever. But I said, okay, God. So I came to the point of just kind of saying, okay, we're going to go cold turkey. You married people know what I'm talking about. But I'm quite sure, God, you are merciful, and you certainly are wise, and you are going to close the womb so we won't have any more. Have our cake, eat it too. Good. This works. Well, eight children later, but I could cry for a long, 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 long time, knowing what I know of those precious eight kids. And the influence, the lives they are touching, and the fact that he provided the money for the house that we couldn't afford otherwise, and the college tuition that we couldn't afford otherwise, and the food and the cars, the 15-passenger van that dropped out of the sky. See, you think God's going broke this year? You think he can't make, were we perfect parents? Are you kidding me? But we have kids touching lives around the country now. And I didn't want it because I didn't know what I was missing. Anyhow, that's another thing of that wonderful woman. And the other thing is she shares the gospel all the time. She even did it this morning. And last night we went to Aldi's. Okay, this is typical. I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing you, Marcia. She is an event. Sometimes she'll say, I probably have the gift of evangelism. Just take the word probably out of this thing, okay? So it's just so cute. We go to Aldi's last night, okay, because we had to pick up a couple of things on our way home. And sure enough, there she is in the checkout line. And, there's a line behind us and so on, but she still gets a word in and gives a gospel tract to the gal that checked us out named.
The girl wanted it.
She did. What's her name again?
Sierra.
There you go.
Sierra.
She was very open to it.
She's all tattoos.
Little tattoos. She got nose things and everything, She did, but it was just that quick. That's my wife. So, Marcia, I want you to stand because I want to give it applause because you're good. Come on. Yeah, she knows. Well, one thing I didn't mention is she gets love for this undeserving sinner that just has kept us close. We are best friends. We will have been married 50 years next month. So. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now, one woman that she loves in Scripture is the woman with and this thing's starting to go haywire on me, is with the woman with the issue of blood. She mentions that so often when she talks about how to get the power from God to live the Christian life. Remember that woman with the issue of blood? She had the issue of blood for how many years, remember? 12 years. You guys are good. You guys are good. And Jesus has the emergency light on. He's going to heal Jairus' daughter, who was how old? 12 years old, which is kind of interesting. I don't know if there's correlation there, but it's just kind of interesting. So he's moving. And this woman says, there's one person that can take care of my problem, and that's Jesus. And she touches the hem of his garment, probably one of the tassels that they had, who knows. And she instantly is healed. And he could have looked at her, because he's in a hurry, could have just said, you got it, and gone on to heal Jairus' daughter before she died. But he stops. He said, I'm not moving until that person comes for it. And someone touched me. Kind of the disciples say, get a clue. There's a lot of people touching you. No, somebody got healed. And finally she realized she had no choice. And again, she's an unclean woman, touches a clean man. And in their rules, she did something not nasty. And she thought she was going to get yelled at. Instead, he says, dear daughter, your faith has saved you. Go. And because he doesn't just want to be a blessing machine. Put in your quarter, get your candy bar, get your blessing, bye-bye. He's an it. No, he's a person. And he wants a relationship with you and me. Heart to heart. That takes time. That takes effort. That takes pouring into him. But he wants a connection with us, folks. Because he loves you. He's only got one of you. And only one of me. So the question is, will we do what he says? Are we willing to die daily to ourselves? It's counterintuitive. We think, boy, if I die to myself, if I give up everything, if so on, I'm going to be left with nothing. No fun, no rest, no nothing. It's counterintuitive. What does it say in Luke 9? This will be one of our last passages here, and then we're going to bring the plane in for a landing, as it were. Luke 9, one of my favorite scriptures, verse 23 and 24. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And those lose and save, it's like die and live. Live and die and so on. So if we try to live for me and protect me and don't sell out all, like we said in the scripture at the beginning, we're going to lose our life. But if we give it up, and it's scary, it's that last 2 pennies we're going to put in, last 2 cents we're going to put in the offering. Oh, God, I feel like I've had nothing left. He says, that's where you're going to get life. It's counterintuitive. That's the question. And so he brings pain into our life to make us choose. How many of you ever had pain in your life? How many have maybe even some pain even now? Come on, I do. There's things I wish were different. But God lets that. He's sovereign. He lets that pain come in our life so that we have to choose. Am I going to live for self-protection or am I going to trust him and follow the Spirit's prompting to do whatever he wants me to do? So that's what I'm going to ask you to do. If, again, there is no pressure here. I want you to be honest, just like my wife's honest. If you're able to stand and want to stand by saying, I want to be all in. As of this moment, I want to be all in. Then I ask you to stand. And if that's not you, don't stand. Stay seated. If you're in a wheelchair, obviously you can't stand, and that's okay. And don't stand if you don't want to. Really, this is totally optional. The rich young ruler, he went away sad because he had so much money. Boy, that's a crazy thing to say. I'm so sad because I have so much money. Yeah, he felt that was better. That was an idol. We want to give up those idols. So, Lord, you see the people here standing. And I'm standing, God, and I'm not done yet. I hope nobody expects because of my talk here that somehow I've arrived. I have not arrived. I make a choice daily. What does he say? Daily take up your cross. Every day. And follow me forever. Save his life, will lose it. Who loses his life for my sake will say, Lord, we want to lose our life. We want to be all in. We want to speak the word like Marcia did last night. At all these, scared me to death. And we want to be all in and just speak the word whenever you prompt us to do it. So, Lord, we just ask you to take us, use us any way you want. Send us anywhere you want us to go. Because we want to see you, Lord, win big. You gave everything for us. That prompts us to want to give everything back to you right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.